Come, Lord Jesus, come. Let us find in these words, your word, that river of living water for your children who thirst. Amen. Please be seated. Everything that is made with a purpose, right? Everything that is made with a purpose. For example, why do we make swords that we might hunt meat? Why do we make knives that we might cut the meat that we've hunted so that we might eat? Everything that is made with a purpose. And when we use things that are made with, in a manner that's contrary to the purpose for which they were made, it can lead to frustration, even futility, and sometimes it's dangerous and even can lead to death. Think about that. Think about a hairdryer. That used to be back in the day when I was young, all of us used a hairdryer. Now it's mostly back to women. But a hairdryer, really good at drying hair, right? It produces heat and it dries hair. That's why you use a hairdryer. But what if you use a hairdryer in order to cook your Thanksgiving Day turkey? Gonna take a while, isn't it? But why is that? Well, it's producing heat, but not enough to cook the turkey. And it's not an oven that's going to hold the heat in and cause the air to circulate around the turkey. It's going to be a long time before that turkey's cooked. And you know what? It might not get cooked. Then that's going to lead to salmonella or something. It's not going to be good. It could even be dangerous, if not lethal. Now think about a weed eater, if you will. I love my weed eater. I think it's great. I mean, it gets up to the edge of the fence where the lawnmower won't go, and it cuts through weeds with a great deal of ease. But what if you use the weed eater to mow the entire lawn? I'd have to quit my day job. I mean, that's going to take weeks, right? If you use that, why? Because it's only about 8 or 9 inches wide, whereas a lawnmower is 22 inches. It's using it contrary to its purpose, and it's going to lead to frustration, and it can even be dangerous. Think about that. A weed eater cuts, right? So what if I use it to shave? Contrary to its purpose. Going to be ugly. Do you know that's what we heard the brother of Jesus, James, say in the epistle today, that things are created with a purpose, and when we use them contrary to that purpose, it can lead to frustration, it can even lead to danger and to death. That's what he's talking about when he talks about the tongue. The tongue has a very specific purpose for being placed within us. It's very powerful, and using it contrary to the purpose of God can cause danger and even death. Let's take a look and see if that's what we find James saying. Now, it begins, "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check." Here James is probably addressing those that he's trying to counter. Perhaps somebody's been teaching the Christians in the early church that they have liberty to use their tongue in any way that they want, or aren't correcting them when they use it in some way that's improper. And he's pointing out, you know, teachers are going to be held accountable for what it is that they teach. But then he goes on to give us these two great examples about the power of the spoken word, about what we produce when we use our tongue. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. A bit. I mean, think about a bit. How big is a bit? Shape it with your own hand. Probably weighs a few ounces, right? In the mouth of a horse that weighs 3,000, 4,000 pounds. That little bit controls where the horse goes. It's powerful to steer and to guide. It's powerful to lead things. That's James's point. Then he goes on and says, well, there's another example. Take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Isn't that true as well? Think about how long a ship is. And there's some appropriate proportion between the length of the ship and the size of a rudder, but regardless, it's small by comparison. You can't even lean over the back of a ship and even see a rudder. And yet it steers luxury liners. It steers an aircraft carrier. A rudder is very small but powerful to steer things in one direction. Likewise, he says, now that he's given us these two examples of the horse and a bit and the ship and a rudder, he says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and itself set on fire by hell. Now think about that. So the tongue can wreck a man's life. It can ruin a person. The small thing that fits within the mouth, designed by God for us to speak, can lead to our death and destruction. And I would hold out that it's not beyond what James is saying, that it can lead to the death and destruction of others. That's the power in words, isn't it? We can use them for their purpose or not. And we're about to get to that. In the order of things, he waits till the end to say what the purpose is. But words are powerful, and words have the power to destroy both us and to those whom we speak. And James wants us to hear that. So all kinds of animals and birds and reptiles, this is in verse 7, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is restless evil, full of deadly poison. Deadly poison. Sure, it's an image. It's a metaphor. But if we've killed a man's soul spiritually, haven't we killed the man literally? Even if death hasn't come upon him in terms of exhausting life, that is giving up breath, hasn't a man been destroyed? Haven't we been destroyed, or someone that we've spoken to been destroyed by what we do? It is full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men. And here James is laying out for us the purpose of the tongue. We get it right when it comes to God. We bless Him, but we curse men who are created in His image. Isn't that the case? Now, I know in the secular world there are lots of people that are damning God, not blessing God, but we as Christians typically get that part right. We don't show up in church on Sunday morning and curse God. We bless Him. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. That's how we began the service, and we intend to end that way, right? We're going to leave blessing God. The problem is not living into that part. It's that we use the same tongue with which we bless God to curse men. And let's make it plain and simple, to curse each other. Right? That's how we often use the tongue. We're praising God, but in our fallenness and in our brokenness and our depravity and our desire for self-preservation, whatever it is that there is about us that's wrong, we use our tongue to bring other people down to our level or to elevate ourselves and hurt others in the process. We bless God, but curse men created in His image. And there James is laying out the purpose. The purpose of the tongue is to bless and not curse. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be, he said. Not only should it not be, he's going to say it cannot be. Can both fresh and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. We as Christians are meant to be fresh water and using our mouths to bless and not to curse. We're not to be salt water. Ultimately, we know salt to be destructive, to be corrosive, right? They probably had in mind the salt sea in which very little lived because of the great content of the salt there. It takes fresh water to give life. If someone's stranded on a boat at sea, what do they die of? Sometimes exposure, most often dehydration. Why? Because they can't drink the tons of water, the infinite amount of water that's around them, because it will kill them because of the salt that's within it. We are meant to be fresh water. We can't be both. That's what James is saying. So is it right? I started out with the proposition that everything is created with a purpose, and when we don't use it in the way that it was intended, it can lead to frustration and futility, but it can also lead to great danger and death. That's what James is saying. We destroy ourselves and men when we use our tongue to curse and not to bless. So maybe it's worth our time and energy to talk about how we bless. How is it that we can bless? Some of you know I'm very fond of a book by Smalley and Trent called The Blessing. Because it highlights for us the importance of blessing, what the absence of it does to a person, and what the presence of it does to a person. And we know blessing to be biblical, don't we? Genesis 12, that through Israel and Abraham, all the nations are going to be blessed. Jacob wanted his blessing that Esau was meant to get so much that he deceived his father in order to get it, right? And when Esau saw what had happened, he said, "Bless me, Father. Do you have just one blessing?" This is in Genesis 27, I think. "Do you have just one blessing?" He wanted that blessing that he had missed out on. In chapter 49 in Genesis, we see Jacob blessing his sons. It's such an important part of what we do. And Trent and Smalley lay that out, and they can show how people throughout their lives, as they're raised by their families, if they experience blessing, what that produces in them in the end, and the absence, what it does to them when they go without it. And it's devastating. It's devastating. Often people can't love others well because they haven't been loved. They haven't received the blessing. They don't know they stand in the favor of their father and mother. And if that can't be achieved, obviously we can appeal to mercy and know that we're still loved by our Heavenly Father. But we as fathers and mothers, we as brothers and sisters, we can still bless in our life. And that's what we want to do. We want to use our tongue to bless. In fact, the ways in which Trent and Smalley describe blessing, the first one is meaningful touch. That is, do we lay our hands upon our children? So it obviously doesn't need to involve the tongue. But it's so important. It's so important to me. I feel sorry for my boys. They're probably going to run at some point because I'm always hugging them, always kissing them, wanting them to know that they are loved. Laying hands upon them each night as they go to bed and speaking over them a blessing. Number 6, the Lord bless and keep you, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Such a simple thing to make a part of our routine, to bless our children in that way, both with hands and with words. But then what do we speak over them throughout the day? Trenton Smalley would say, do we communicate to them the life that God has in store for them, how special it is? Not that they're going to be astronauts or engineers, not even to direct their life into some fulfillment of something maybe we want to achieve, but just to say God has a purpose for you and it's going to be grand. The way I try to work that out with my children is to say to them, boys, girls, I can't wait to see what God has in store for you. I can't wait to see what his blessings are going to produce in you and what that's going to mean for the people around you. Now, I'm not trying to define them and say, well, you have to do this or you have to do that. That's often what I want rather than what they want. But that just through their lives that other people are going to be blessed. And that I can't wait to see that unfold, that they have a meaningful future, something given to them by God. And do we have a commitment to that? Do we know what it would take to get them to that place? And do we communicate that we're with them in making sure those things happen? The power of blessing is unbelievable. The absence of it is as well. Just as James describes in the opening of the book, they talk about a young man who's been called to his father's deathbed. But his father dies before he arrives. And he's begging his father, please tell me you love me. He can't bring him back from the dead to hear it. But that young man had been robbed of hearing those words all of his life, and it devastated him that he didn't hear them. He's begging a dead man to speak those words over him. I love you. The absence can be so brutal. Sets a man on fire, the person who speaks words, but also the person who receives the curse or the absence of blessing. But what does blessing do? The opposite of curse, when we are proactive in saying, I bless you, I lay my hands upon you, I speak this glorious future over you, just as God does over us. It has the power to transform and to change, to take people who have led broken lives and rebelled and even run from God, it allows them to come back into His presence. And it's the same thing that blessing does for us. We can come back into the presence of our father and our mother and our family and our friends because we know that we're loved and we are going to be blessed, not rejected and cursed. And so we don't want to underestimate that. This is true of all relationships, but especially true for us that are raising children. Now is the time to bless them so that they know, they grow up confident of their father's love, that they grow up knowing that's there, that it's immovable, that it can't be taken away and won't go away by any other force. They need to hear it. And that's what James is communicating to the Christian community. That one, the tongue has a purpose. It is to bless and it's not to curse. That it has great power. It can set a man's life on fire and destroy it. Or it can be used for good and bring about great things. So as we go from here, let us ask the Lord to reveal to us the places in which we haven't blessed and that we could bless. And ask Him for the grace to use our tongues toward that end, to speak blessings over our children, to speak blessings over our husband, to speak blessings over our wife, to speak blessings over our neighbors, that they know that God seeks to bless them and allow us to be the hands, the feet, and primarily the mouth through which that happens. Amen. 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 Does anyone have a word on how blessing has impacted their life and in some ways changed them